Y'all ready? What if this was the morning that God did such a profound thing in your heart that it changed the way you thought and changed the way you view other people forever? What if this morning you found what was the key to unlock your heart and in the hearts of others? I am so convinced about what we're going to teach this morning and where we're going to go this morning in this subject of freedom that I'm so convinced that I'll stand in front of all of you and tell you. I've experienced in my own life, I've helped people personally to walk some of this freedom stuff through. And I believe, as we've been talking about in this last series, that the church has some learning to do in regards to freedom. And I believe we may not be all the way there yet, but I believe that God's given us some keys and some understandings about these things. Amen? So I want you to come with expectation this morning and believe that God does have a word for you this morning. Amen? Amen. So with that in mind, let's pray. Father, we look to you. We thank you for the message of freedom. Jesus, we thank you that you came to heal the brokenhearted and bring deliverance and freedom to captives and prisoners. And God, as we dive into this morning, God, we just break every religious kind of spirit that would try to say, yeah, freedom, I've heard that before. God, we give you an ear to hear, not what David says, but Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us this morning in regards to this? God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. All right, freedom. So we've been on this journey of discussing freedom for a minute and the processes of becoming free, right? The scripture teaches us that we are predestined to be molded and conformed into his will, right? And so really, a lot of this freedom is really just being molded into his will, into his nature, his character, and who God is and who God's called us to be. We set up this idea already in the last few weeks, right? That's 4 weeks, actually, that God is good, the devil is bad. We need to get that under control. We need to make sure we have a clear understanding of good God, bad devil, right? We talked about how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to bring us life and life to the full. Do we really believe that this morning, that Jesus has come to give you abundant, full life? We talked about the idea of prisoners and captives, that the Bible teaches that people are drawn away, right? And they become captive and they become prisoners. Jesus came to heal and bring deliverance to captives and prisoners. And we talked about how some people, sometimes captivity comes by your own doing. How many of y'all have become captive by your own doing? Amen. Like, I know I'm in the wrong crowd, evidently. How many of y'all been captive by other people? Amen. Are you doing your thing and you become captive to it, whether it's addiction, whether it's bad thoughts, whatever it is, right? Or what about the other idea that not only do you can actually do things to help you bring you into captivity, but other people can do things. That third grade teacher who told you you'll never amount to anything, that parent who whatever didn't believe in you, or when, like, for part of my story is being robbed of my dad when I was at an early age and not knowing and never having that question really answered at a young age is, do I really have what it takes to be the man of God that God's called me to be, or the person that God's called me to be, right? So other people in different situations, my mom snapping off at me in that moment of what I needed somebody to talk to. I needed somebody to help me in a moment. And my mom made this statement towards me, and not through any fault of her own. She was going through her own wound, her own hurting, and her own loss of her husband, snapped, and all of a sudden, but what happened is I believed a lie inside me that if I was going to have to make it in this life, nobody else is going to be there to help me. I'm on my own, right? And that lie permeated into my life, and it affects what you think, what you say, what you do, because it's a belief system, right? So I want to get into that a little bit more. And let me just say, and then last week, last week if I can say so myself, right? It was so good, right? It was so good. We talked about the loyal love of God, that God, the only way that we can repent and turn back to God is if God is loyal in his love for us. That God's continual loyal love, you'll never be free. You'll never walk in the freedom that God's called you to walk in if you don't understand that God loves you and is constantly pursuing you and his love for you never ceases. Even when we turn away from God, the fact that God still loves us gives us that anchor to come back to him. So if you're away from God this morning, God's loyal love is right there waiting on your return to him. Right? And if you've fallen, maybe you've fallen, if you're fallen into that pornography thing again and again and again, or you've fallen into that bad habit and you snapped at your kids again and again and again, and God says, hey, I'm here, just turn back to me. His loyal love is what's going to keep you and going to give you that springboard to walk in the freedom that God's called you to walk into. Right? Because of God's loyal love. If you missed last Sunday, then you missed it. Actually, you didn't miss it because it's online. You can go onto our YouTube page and watch it again. Amen. All right, so here we go. But let me just say this first. James chapter 1 and verse 22. I added this. It's not on the screen this morning. I added that this morning. James 1 says this, and I want us to make sure we understand this principle. It says, do not merely listen to the word this morning. Oh, it doesn't say this morning. I added this morning. And so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's like when you come to a Sunday morning service and you hear the message and you forget it as you walk out the door. I know nobody does that. That's other preachers. Y'all always remember everything that I say and everything that God says through me, always. He said, but whoever looks intently at the perfect law that gives what? Freedom. Oh, you don't know. It's not up there. It gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I want to understand the baseline of this morning is it only works if you're a doer of the word. Amen. If you do what the word says, right? This morning, I want to start the process of talking about, yeah, we've talked about how bondage comes. We've talked about the enemy, good God, bad devil, right? We talked about all those things. I want to start the process of resisting this morning. I want to start the idea that you must resist the enemy, right? And we're going to talk about these things. But I got three principles that I want to talk about this morning. And principle number one is this. If we want to start resisting the enemy, we need to understand, if you want to resist the things that have been holding you back, that is holding you down and minimizing you as a person, as a father, a parent, a friend, a worker, a boss, whatever you are in this life, right? That God wants to maximize you and the enemy wants to minimize you. But the principle number one is we need to understand the nature of our enemy. We need to understand the nature of our enemy. And John in John 8:44, let me make sure I read that. It says this: for you are the children of your father the devil. This is Jesus talking in his very encouraging moment. And you love to do evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. Stop right there. I want you to understand that the enemy creates the lies out of his own nature of who he is. That is his nature, is that of a liar. For he is a liar and the father of lies. He is the father of lies. Satan is the father of every lie. So we need to understand that this is his nature, this is his character, this is who he is. He is a stealer, killer, and destroyer, and his number one tool is lying through deception. What is deception? Simply this. Deception is just thinking on things that are not true. They're not true. That's deception. So in our lives, so the enemy, if his number one job is to lie, that means he is actively lying and and trying to lie into your and my life. It's not just, listen, I think sometimes we get this high view of what the enemy does. Like, he works in our, he's, oh man, I was about to say, I'll just say, he's in our government. He's our government. He's in our schools. The devil is everywhere, right? Because all these kids are on drugs. All these people young people are just confused about who they are, you know, and we just talk about, oh, the devil. Let me tell you something. He's a lot more sneaky than that. And he's a lot better at these things than just those big things, right? Right? He's a lot more, and to think it's only them that is deceived and not you? Yeah. It's called deception. And he's the master of it. And if you think that you are not being deceived in some way, shape, or form, then you, my friend, are deceived yourself. Because that's what he's actively doing. He's actively deceiving. This character is deceitful, devious, and cunning in various guises. He seeks to influence people by deception for his own ends. Listen to that. He seeks to influence other people through deception for the enemy's own ends. He lies to you. How does he lie to you? He lies to you about your value and your worth of who you are. His number one tool is he will devalue, he will make you seem less valued. He will question your value and his worth. He'll question your identity of who you are and who God made you to be. This word is such a good word. He will diminish you by deception. He will diminish you in your position as a child of God. He will work to diminish you as a child of God. He will work to keep you from relationships. He will demean you as a parent. Don't think that the enemy is not in your head telling you how terrible of a parent you are. Don't just think that it's just something that you just, that's just the way I think. Don't think that the enemy is not actively trying to deceive you and demean you of your value as a parent. I hear this, like, let me just say this. I hear this. We say, I'm just afraid for my kids to go into this public world. Let me tell you something, child of God, parent. Nobody has more influence over your child than you do. Than you do. That's right. You do. You have the loudest voice of your child in their life. And to think, oh, the world's just can't. No. You stand up as who you are as a parent in God and walk in love and kindness and all of those things that the scripture teaches us to do as parents. Be the parent God's called you to be. Let me get that. Yeah, woosah. Let me get that off of me, right? He will work to make you second guess yourself all the time. The enemy is a liar, and he lies to you and wants to demean you. Where God wants to maximize you, God wants to minimize you. That's the principle, that the enemy comes to lie and to make his ways into your life, to make your desires and make the things that he wants accomplished. He'll do it, and he does it through deception. Principle number two is very important. We talked about captives and prisoners, right? It's just the idea that the enemy has taken us captive and makes us act in a way that God didn't want us to act or be or think the way that God doesn't want us to think, right? He does this most of the time through the agreements that we make. When he lies about you, he has one goal. When he lies about you, he lies about you as a parent. He lies about you and your worth. He lies about you of who you are in this world. When he lies about you, all he is doing is enticing you to agree with him. Agree with me. Just agree with me. In that moment, a thought hit my head that said, you're alone. And did I actively go, I agree with that thought? No. I mentally, emotionally, agreed with it. I said, yep, I'm alone. So my belief that I'm alone, I'm getting ahead of myself because this is next week, is going to affect what I think, what I say, and what I do. What you believe, I'm so ahead of myself, what you believe is going to affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. If you are not, what you believe about God will affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. Right? James says it real clear. He says, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Right? Are we saved by works and by grace? Right? The big question. Right? I think James says it perfectly. Yeah. I'll show you what I believe by what I do. You show what you believe by how you act and what you do. And sometimes you're held captive by demonic thoughts and thinking, and it affects how you communicate with other people, how you relate with other people, how you perform on your job, how you carry yourself in your home, how you carry yourself as a person everywhere you go. Because the enemy will lie to you to make you feel inferior. And it happens in a moment. A lot of times it happens in a moment under duress, under a bad situation, under trauma, under all kind of things, all kind of situations. But you made that agreement. I made that agreement that I will never be vulnerable to anyone ever again because of what that person did to me. And then because of what that person did to me, I believe it's what everybody does to you. So what do? I am not going to get in relationship with anybody. Matter of fact, I'll just only go so far in this relationship because I'm not going to get hurt. It's the hurt arm, right? I'm not going to allow my arm to get hurt again, right? But the enemy uses that. What does God want? God wants flourishing, amazing relationships with each other, that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, right? This idea that we all are flowing together as the people of God. I'm not even talking about the people in the world. I'm not the people of God. That we all are, God created us as a family of believers. That's why we know God is our Father. But the enemy wants to get in and bring weirdness into our own lives and cause disunity and arguments and separation and self, whatever. I can't think of the word. Powerlessness, right? Powerlessness. I am a victim of others, and I can't protect myself. That's an agreement. That I am a helpless victim, and I can't protect myself. Or fear. You make an agreement with fear. The world and the people are not safe for me. What about this idea of personal, you've been tainted by in your own personal life, and so you say, I am scarred and ruined by what has happened to me. And you've made that agreement. What about hopelessness? That is, everything's, in this world that we live in, that everything is terrible and it'll never get any better. That's called hopelessness. It has no place in the heart of a believer. You make that agreement that you're hopeless. Does the world give you opportunity to feel hopeless? Yeah. Look at the news. Look at whatever's going on around you. Right? But we are not. We're not that way. We're the people of God. What about this idea of rejection? What about this shame, that you've made this agreement with shame, that I am the sinful and I'm sinful and dirty and I deserve all the punishment that I get? It's an agreement. What about rejection? The ones I need reject me because I'm not worthy of their love. What about your identity? Who I am, you make this agreement, who I am is not worth anybody paying attention to. This word, disaffection, right? I am worthless and unattractive and stupid and deserve to be ignored. Don't tell me that don't create what you think, what you say, and what you do, how you act. Abandonment. You feel abandoned. Something happened and you felt abandoned, and now that's your agreement. And you say, those who I love will always abandon me. Right? See, you see how this is bigger than the devil just makes people want to vape? How silly. The devil wants my children just to listen to secular music. It's a lot worse than that. Add shame, rejection, abandonment. This idea of who you are. My conviction is this. If you know who you are, it's gonna change what you do. If you know who you are, it's gonna change what you do. So the question is this, like, what is the motivating factor behind whenever you lash out in anger? Right? What is that thing that was in you? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart flows all the issues of life. What's happened to you in your heart that whenever somebody does something to you, whenever somebody cuts you off, how dare they? How dare they? Like, what is that? What made you feel so violated? Seriously, what made you feel so violated that somebody had the audacity to not use their turn signal? I'm half joking, right? Like, ask the Lord, like, what is that about? Like, what made me that mad?
Yeah, that's right.
How come when you squeeze me like a sponge, love, kindness, gentleness, self-control didn't come out? I'd rather stick to vaping. That we just mad about vaping. Listen. We are all being transformed into the image of Jesus. This is just the process. And it's ugly. And it's uncomfortable. Because it's them, not me. Pastor, you're meddling. I am. Now, here's where I was going to talk about that. Those agreements will affect what you think, what we say, and what we do. Because it's what you believe, we act how we believe. There's reasons why we act the way we act. There's reasons why you pull yourself away and don't want to have relationships with other people. When God intended us, how good and pleasant it is, and Scripture says, where people of God dwell together in unity. That it says, forsake not the gathering together of the believers. There's this unity that God's trying to get in us, but the enemy comes in and has wounds, hurts, situations, dealings, and stuff that will cause you not to dwell in unity and will actually cause you to withdraw. Because I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. And you've made your agreement. The devil's come in. Remember, he's bad. He's come in and he's lied. and you agreed. And it affects what you think, what you say, and what you do. But not anymore. Because we're not going to do that anymore. The lie is being exposed. And just an insight into our lives over the last couple of weeks is my wife and I, we have just been getting hit, bam, bam. And it dawned on me, what are we teaching on? You don't think the enemy, you know what, I don't give a rip what the enemy does. I mean, it's painful, it hurts, and it's all terrible, you know, when every car that you own is feel like it's breaking down. And not only that, just all the other stuff, right? Some other stuff's going on I don't want to tell you about. Like all this stuff. Pastors get that too? Yeah. Could it be that God wants to take this church to a place where we can not only be healed and restored ourselves, but when people walk in the door, they can be healed and restored themselves? And it's not just about, oh, they just have an anger problem. I just don't like them. Maybe there's something else going on, and you can be the vehicle to be the person that causes healing into that person's life because of your understanding of how the devil lies to people. Amen? This is what God has called us into. I'm convinced like never before, this is what God's called us into, is a place of healing and restoration. Why is it important? This is nowhere in my notes. Why is it important to be friendly with people when they walk in the door? Because people are broken. And you know what? They're going to act like broken people. So our love walk towards them has to be above an understanding that I'm going to love. God's loyal love to me, I'm going to walk in loyal love to them. Because I know God's loyal love will be the key that unlocks freedom in people's lives. Why are relationships and friendships so important? Why does Jesus leave the 99 and go off after the one? Because he knows the dangers of the one being alone. See, Jesus is out to heal, bring restoration and freedom. And you and I get to be a part of it. In Judges, interesting scripture, in Judges chapter 6. So in this moment, like the Midianites, if I remember correctly, the Midianites, right? I have to look at my, I was looking at all of my scholars. Thank you. The Midianites have just run rampant over the people of God. Right. Matter of fact, the scripture says, actually, it was like whenever they come through, it's like a swarm of locusts that comes through and chews up everything and destroys everything in its path. Right. And so here we find this guy named Gideon, who is in a wine press. Right. And he's threshing out the wheat, hoping that the Midianites won't find him. Right. And God comes to him. So here he is. Scared of the Midianites, which let me just say, me too, I would be too. Okay, fearless people. And he's hiding, and God comes on the scene and says this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Judges chapter 6 and verse 12, and said, mighty hero, New Living, the Lord is with you. Sir? Gideon replies, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening? Have you seen these locust-type people that are coming in? That's not it. And where are all the miracles of our ancestors told us about? Did they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us here and handed us to the Midianites? Let me stop there. You ever had that moment? Why? Why is all this happening? Right? Whining, complaining. And then he says this. The Lord said, turned to him and said, go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. Am I sending you? But Lord, again, Gideon. God bless him. How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least of my entire family. Notice his identity. Notice his belief system about who he was. He had forgotten, let me just fast forward it. He had forgotten whose he was, that he was one of the 12 tribes. He was part of one of the 12. He is part of the children of God. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as you were fighting against, as if you were fighting against one man. God says, look, he says, Gideon, you see yourself this way? Let me tell you how I see yourself. How I see yourself? How I see you. Let me tell you how I see you. The enemy's lying to you, and you've forgotten who you were. You've forgotten, even though all this stuff is happening, and I get it, Gideon, all this stuff looks really bad, but God says, I'm calling you, you mighty hero, to rescue the people of Israel. And he says, am I not sending you? Child of God, listen to me. Why do you fight your worry and stress and anxiety? Why do you fight that low self-worth? Why do you fight that nobody, I don't feel worthy for anybody to love me? Why do you fight that I'm not worth anything? Because you've been lied to. And God in his word wants to tell you who you are. Can I submit to you that you've forgotten who you were? Because of an agreement that you made. See, God, I heard somebody say this. They said reality. I mean, no, he said truth. Excuse me. He said truth is reality as God sees it. Let me say that again. Truth is reality the way God sees it. Now, the question is, what do you believe about how God sees you? What do you believe about your worth? What do you believe about your ability to be a productive person? Remember, we're called to go and bear forth fruit. We're called to be the light. I'm not worried about the world. Can we just forget about the world? I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about what God's called the church to be. How are we going to be the light of the world if we're just like Gideon in cowardness? How are we going to be the light of the world if we're so wounded that we can't even love anybody else because we're afraid to pour out our love because we're rejection? See, God's called us into something greater. He's called us into something greater. See, where the enemy would want to, I mean, here's all these, I found this list of things that, in a different list, but I want to just read the list because here's how the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to be intimidated, reckless, indecisive, cowardice. He wants us to blame others, be a person just blame. I was talking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah had this thing. I'm just going to tell you on you, Jeremiah. You hang out with me enough, I'll tell stories about you. Jeremiah was telling me, he you ever do something stupid? And you ever, I'll talk to these people over here, perfect one. Yeah, yeah. He's like, well, not in the last 2 minutes. I mean, I've just been sitting here. You ever do something stupid and you go, God, I hope nobody saw that. How many of you ever done that? Like in public. How about at a gas station, you did something stupid and you go, I pray nobody saw that. Like yesterday, right? So Jeremiah, you're in good company. He did something kind of stupid, right? He did something kind of like, he's like, I shouldn't have done it. I just did it, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, like, all these people just were like yelling at him. What are you doing? What are you, stupid, blah, blah, blah. Like, what is going on in our world? Where people with such, I can't wait to find somebody who's doing something wrong. Bam, gotcha. Like, what have we become? Children of God, what have we become? We are the light of the world. The answer to our, we are the answer to our world hurts. We are the answer. We are the answer. The church, the people of God, you and I, as we are image bearers of Him. So God, bring it, whatever you want to do. Mold me, shape me. God, forgive me for just saying, this is just the way I am. Like me or hate me, either way. No. God, what have you called me into? What kind of person am I? I'm not just a label by what other people have said about me or a personality profile that somebody's put on me. I'm not just a label. I am the person that God's called me to be. Am I against personality? No, I'm not against personality. But listen, you got to be careful with all of that stuff because they'll say, "Oh, well, you're a three. You're a three. You're an Enneagram three." Right? Some of y'all are like, huh? Like, I don't know. Yeah, all the millennials and younger got that, right? Julie got it. I got it. Enneagram. But no label is greater than the word of God about you.
Come on.
No label is greater.
That's right.
I am what God says I am. I say it all the time. We'll get it here in a minute. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I am what the Word of God says about me. I am dearly loved by God. Shame has nothing in my own life because I know that God loves me. His loyal love, as we talked about last week, follows me all the days of my life. That I am not abandoned by God. The things I think that other people think about me are lies and deceptions from the enemy. And they affect what I think, what I say, and how I act around other people. No more. We got to stand up to the bully. I know what God's called me to be. No more, church. It's time to be what God's called you to be. Nothing more and nothing less. The enemy wants to demean you. Men, the enemy wants to bring you low. He wants to make you become a coward. He wants to give that lie to you, men, that you don't have what it takes. And it'll cause you to go in through some sin that will completely rob you of the courage what God called you to be. Women, God called you to be mighty women of God. To be moms. To be lovers of people. Men too. to go into this world and create some beauty about this world. Kindness, goodness, but also fierceness. Women of God, what God's called you into. And the enemy wants to, like my son said it, he wants to silence you. Not anymore. Amen? So, resisting starts with breaking agreements. So we're going to break those agreements. How do we do that? Ask the Holy Spirit. What agreements? The Holy Spirit's here to help you. He's here to help you. He's here to walk you through these things. The question is this, Holy Spirit, what agreements have I made? And yeah, it's good to do it here, but I challenge you this week, in your own quiet time, when you have your own quiet time, what are those agreements that I'm making? What are those agreements that's causing me to act out? When you act out, okay, can I just be honest? I know we're late. Are y'all okay? Is this okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell a story. It happened just yesterday. And this is going to be really exposing, but I feel like let's just expose ourselves, right? This is who we are. So yesterday, this will be a public apology to my son. But yesterday, we were in the grocery store, and we were helping him. Wesley's leaving for school. This is his last Sunday here with us until he goes to school. And we were in the store, and I won't even say what it is. I'm mentally battling something in my head. You ever have that moment? Where you're stressed out about other things and all these other things. I actually was worried about something that was going on. I was just worried, that was my mindset. So I was with them as we were grocery shopping. You ever been there? Yeah, men especially, you were there. Like, what dear? What, you know, it's just like aimlessly going around the grocery store. And so my son says something to me. And I didn't snap, but I said it coarse and harsh. And immediately it created friction, right? You know, how many of y'all, is this just me? How many of y'all ever had that? Watch how this works. So I'm in prayer this morning, preparing for the message. I'm in prayer this morning, and I asked the Lord, what was that all about? What was that all about? And then I read this thing that's on, as I'm studying on a new series in the men's that we're maybe doing called Toxic Masculinity, which would be very interesting. That'll be fun. All of you men, you need to come. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, all the women will come. But it'll be good. But it'll be good. But one of the things, I'll say this. Oh, my gosh, I got myself into a whole thing right now. Let me just say this. Listen, one of the things of toxic masculinity is you're an agent of chaos in your home and around you. That's toxic. Amen? Right? Or in the opposite of that, chaos is you're a provider of peace for people. Men in their strength should be providers of peace everywhere they go. Amen? Right? So in that moment, as I'm praying through this, I'm praying through what happened yesterday, I felt the Lord just says, you are operating in chaos because of hurts and confusion and fear going on in your own life in that moment. And what came out of your mouth causes dissension and chaos. Oh, now it's everyday life. But yeah, I don't want to cause chaos. I don't want to cause dissension between me and my son, right? See, this is how this all works. But what's great was I asked, Holy Spirit, what was that all about? And Lord, okay, I was wrong. I repent for being fearful and worried and then allowing that to spew out of my mouth. So Wesley, I'm sorry for what happened yesterday. But that's how this thing works, amen? Let's all stand together. Every once in a while, I got to realize this is a series that we're doing. Okay. Worship team, y'all can come on up. Is this good? Are y'all receiving? Amen? The Holy Spirit is our helper and our counselor. He is our ever-present help in time of need. Amen?